Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't hesitate because I am a seed. Cause every good.
Amen, amen, and amen. Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Lifeline broadcast. I'm Apostle Shirley Jones, the senior pastor of Rehoboth Family Life Center and the host of this broadcast. Well, thank you for joining me tonight. To God be all the glory. Well, as always, I am just so honored and glad to be a part of this network, When Christians Speak Talk Radio Show. This network is actually doing the work of kingdom building throughout the world. And we are in a time where the gospel must be preached to give hope and encouragement. I pray that the work of this network goes even further in doing kingdom building. To God be the glory, to God be the glory. Amen and amen and amen. Well, before I get into the teaching for tonight, I would like to extend an invitation to everyone that's on the broadcast to come out and join us on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m., Eastern Standard Time for Rehoboth Family Life Center worship service via Facebook Live. And actually this Sunday, this Sunday is Communion Sunday, and the only thing you're going to need to have is have some bread or a cracker and juice as we do in remembrance of Jesus Christ. So also invite your family and friends to join in with you because this is such an awesome time to evangelize and to share the good news of the gospel. Also, you can join us for our Bible study on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time via Zoom audio. And you can go to our church Facebook page to get the information to connect. And I hope you can join us either on Sunday morning, Facebook Live, or on Tuesday for our Zoom audio Bible study. Amen and amen. Well, tonight I'm going to go ahead and jump into the message. I'm going to go ahead and pray. And then we're going to just sup around the word together tonight. So, Father, we just bless you, Father God, and we just honor you, God, and we adore you. Father, we thank you for your loving kindness, oh God, and your tender mercies. God, we thank you for just all that you do, all that you continually do, and all that is still yet to come. And so, Father, I pray that even now in the name of Jesus, that God, that you would bless these, your people. I pray that, God, that you would give them a listening ear and that, God, that they not just be hearers of the word, but they be doers. I pray that somebody's heart, Father God, would be encouraged tonight. And I even pray now, Lord God, if there be any sick among us, oh, God, that healing be their portion. I pray that, God, that you would touch them now, God, from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. And I pray that, God, that you would speak healing and wholeness and wellness to them, not only in their body, but in their minds, in their emotions, and every place, Father God, that's not lining up with healing like the way that you said that it should. So I even pray tonight, Lord God, that you would bless me. And God, I come to surrender myself to you, Lord God. I pray tonight that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And of course, God, as always, I will say that it was you, and it's always you, and I am so grateful, Father God, for the charge that you have given me even tonight, God, to speak words of life to your people. So I pray, Lord God, even now, have your way, 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 Lord God, and be glorified in the midst of us tonight. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen, and amen. The title of my teaching for tonight is Winning, Winning. And we have been talking about new day, new things, and new ways over the last two broadcasts. And God has just been, even at our church, we have been talking about new day, new things, and new ways since the beginning of the year. Actually, January 3rd was the first time that I gave this message. And God is just allowing us to pull out all the juices out of this, and he has given us clarity in what he means by new day, new things, and new ways. And the last two broadcasts, he allowed me to share that with you guys as well. So tonight what we're going to do is we're going to make a segue, and this segue is actually still under the umbrella of new day, new things, and new ways, but it's going to be talking about winning. Now, when I mentioned winning as the title, first, it's not the kind of win that means that everything is so rosy and everything is so perfect. That's not the kind of winning that I'm talking about. But I'm talking about the win that places us in the direction and the will of God. So every loss, hear me now, every loss is not always a loss. Some loss are actually a gain. Example, the loss of a job and the door opens to a job that is better fit and further prepares us for a purpose and destiny that would not have been if not for that loss. That relationship that failed and you felt a loss, but now you have gotten the chance to get in touch with you and how you feel about relationship and what you know fits you better. So that's not really a loss. It's but a win. So a lot of times we look at things and we become sorrowful. We become even sometimes even mad and angry. You know, that something we have lost something, but every loss is not a loss. Sometimes it's just to position us in the path and the direction in which God has for our life. Prime example, in the Bible, remember Hannah in 1 Samuel. Remember Hannah? Hannah was married to Elkanah, and he had another wife. He had two wives, and the first wife was she was actually having babies for him, and Hannah was barren. Hannah was barren. She couldn't have any children, and she was praying all the time that God would bless her with a child. And she was being actually talked about. She was being ridiculed by his other wife. You know, I'm talking about women. You know how we can be very catty sometimes. And I can imagine her walking through the house sometimes and saying to Hannah, like, Hannah, did you get the kids ready? Oh, sorry, Hannah, I forgot. You don't have no kids. And so she was being tormented by the fact that this woman was having children by her husband. And Elkanah, he loved Hannah more, but she was like, that's not enough. He was like, you know, don't you know that I love you more? And aren't I better than 10 sons? And she's like, but I just want to have a child. And she would go before the Lord and she would pray. You know, they would go up to the temple every year to make sacrifice and to pray, make offering and pray. And this particular time when they went up, she besought God, and God, she said to him finally, she said, if you give me a son, if you would bless me with a son, then I will give him back to you. Well, right now we're talking about, remember I said winning. Winning just puts us in the path of the direction of God. And the minute she began to say to God, if you would give me a child, I would give that child back to you. Well, the very next year she was able to birth forth a child, and that was Samuel. Samuel was a child that she bore forth. And so she wanted just a child, but God wanted her to be able to birth forth a prophet. And so the minute that she was able to be in agreement with God, that God blessed her womb, and she was able to birth out Samuel. Samuel was not only just a priest, but he was also a prophet. So I would consider that not a loss, you know, all those years that she was barren. But when God blessed her womb, she brought forth a priest and a prophet, and I would consider that a win. Another place in the Bible where it looks like it was a loss was my boy Joseph. You know, everybody know I love Joseph. I love the story of Joseph. And remember how Joseph, his brothers, you know, sold him, and he went to Egypt, and he was in Potiphar's house, and his wife, you know, lied on him, saying that he was trying to sleep with her, and they threw him in the prison, and he was in the prison. And here he was, you know, bound up in the prison. But then Pharaoh had a dream. And remember in the story, it's where it was the baker and the butler. and they had a dream, and Joseph was able to interpret the dream while he was in prison. And what he said to both of them, it came to pass. And so now the butler was able to get restored. And when he went back to the palace, Joseph had told him, don't forget to tell them about me, that I'm in here and I haven't done anything. But it was 2 years, 2 years. Imagine now, the butler is back. He mentions nothing about Joseph because it really wasn't Joseph's time. You got to understand that, see, winning has a time even associated with it. And so now Joseph is told, the butler tells the king about his dream and that Joseph was a man that could interpret it. So they said that Joseph just had time to change his clothes and shave to go to the palace to be able to interpret the dream of the king. And from there on, he made him second in command. Oh, glory. Joseph never had a prison experience. He never went back to the prison, and he was the second in command. But not only that, he was put in position where now he can go and he can get his father, he can get his brothers, and bring them to Egypt, not only to give them food and ration, but now that their lives would change. But the part that really got me was that when the father died, now the father is dead, and the brothers are saying, I know Joseph's going to kill us now, because the only reason he probably didn't destroy us is because daddy was around. But now that daddy's gone, I know Joseph is going to off us. But this is what Joseph tells them. This is in Genesis chapter 50. And he says, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much alive. Now, therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and you and your little ones. And he comforted them, and he spake kindly unto them. Joseph says to them, but fear not, for am I in the place of God? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. So what looked like a loss? Oh, glory. But that loss was actually putting Joseph in the path of the direction of his purpose and his destiny. So I want to speak that to somebody tonight, that it may look like you in a losing situation. It looks like you're in a losing space, but I say to you that God is able to make all grace abound. God is able to take that loss and propel you into your place. See, Joseph had to go in all those places that looked like he was losing. Joseph had to make his path to the palace, and the only way that he could do that was the path in which he went. He had to go to the prison. Number one, if he is going to be second in command to the king, Joseph was not an Egyptian. He had to go to the prison. He had to go to the prison to be able to understand the culture. He had to learn the language of the people so that when he got to his place of purpose and destiny, he would already be prepared. And not only that, if the butler had mentioned anything about Joseph when he was restored, it would have meant nothing. He just would have said, yeah, there's Joseph, and he said that, you know, he's not guilty of anything. That would have meant nothing to the king. 2 years later, though, when he had a dream, that's when his gift made room for him. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. His gift made room for him. He was able to interpret the dream and get in his position. So he wasn't trying to now to destroy his brothers that his father was gone. He said, but am I not in the place of God? So even when it looks like you're losing, but if you are following the direction of God, if you are a son and daughters of the Most High God, that even when it looks like you're in a losing place, that you're not going to lose. That thing is going to turn. That thing is going to take you to a place where you'll see that you're not losing, but you're winning. Oh, hallelujah. I need to say that to somebody tonight, somebody that's feeling defeated. Somebody's feeling like this can never turn around for my good, but I say to you that it shall turn around for your good. I say to you that this is not your permanent position. I say to you that that place that looks barren, that place that looks like it will not produce anything, that God is going to use that to bring you to your next place of blessing, that you are going to win. Why? Because you are a child of the Most High God. Oh, glory, you are king and joint heirs and heirs to the throne of grace. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. So tonight I speak that you are not losing, but you're winning, even when it don't look like it, but you're still going to win. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things, hear me now, all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. If indeed we are the children of the Most High, then he says that all things, he didn't say some things, he didn't give us a list of things, he didn't say a few things, he didn't say only these things, he said, but all things work together for the good to them that love God. And if you're loving God, and if you're submitting to God, and you've asked God to take your life and cause it to be different, know that even in those dark places, that God is able to make all grace abound. God's able to take the dark thing, and he's able to shape it and mold it and cause it to be something beautiful. Oh, hallelujah. I think it's in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, probably about 11, where it says, but he makes all things beautiful in his time. In his time, there's purpose and destiny for your life. So that thing that looks like you're losing, that God is going to take that thing and turn it around and see and let you know that you are a winner and that you're winning in him. Why? Because he's directing your path. He's putting you in the place of purpose, and he's putting you in the place of destiny. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We're talking about winning tonight. So how can I see that I'm winning when it doesn't look like winning? How do I operate in that realm when it looks like really bleak and black? It doesn't look like anything is good going to come out of this. But God is saying to us even tonight that in those times that we have to pull on the principle of faith. Faith says it's being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Think about this. Think about this. Think about this. Remember with Joseph. Joseph was able, not Joseph, Joseph, not Joseph. Forgive me, y'all, not Joseph. I get Joseph and Joshua, both of these are my boys. I'm talking about Joshua, he walked and he served Moses. Now the mantle is on him. So everything that Joshua experienced, everything that he witnessed, everything that he learned, now is taking him into his new day, in his new things, and his new ways. You know, he had to be thinking like, man, you know, I've seen what Moses went through. I've seen how the people just were not nice to Moses, how the people were disobedient, how Moses had to keep trying to lead the people, trying to go to God for the people. But now that Moses was disobedient, you know, and you heard me say this so many times, I was like, but God, not my boy Moses, you know, Moses went through so much, and now he not going into the promised land, God? Oh, not my boy Moses. But see, Moses, right at the place of crossing over, and we have to be so very careful that we have to be obedient all the way through this thing with God. See, Moses, he told Moses, he said, I need you to speak to the rock because they needed some water. He said, I need you to speak to the rock. And Moses was so mad by that time because these people were some stiff-necked, hard, stubborn, lying, just a mess. The people were a mess, and they finally just got on Moses' nerves. And Moses did not speak to the rock. He said, these daggone people. And he took his staff and he hit the rock twice, not once but twice, and water started gushing out the rock. And God said, but because, Moses, you did not do what I told you to do, I told you to speak to the rock that you ain't going. You can get a glimpse into the promised land, but you will not be able to go because of your disobedience. He says, I share my glory with no man. Because you were disobedient, now it looked like you got some power because you struck the rock and you got water. He said, I told you to speak to it, and you didn't do it. And because of that, the people are looking at what you can do instead of looking at what I can do. And because of that, he doesn't go. But then there is Joshua. Joshua, who's walked with Moses. He served Moses. He was the one that stood in the mount when Moses went up to the mount to get the Ten Commandments, and he went up in a cloud twice, and Joshua was the one that stood and waited for Moses for 40 days and 40 nights. So he saw all the things that Moses went through. He saw all the things that God had promised. He saw all of this. But now he sees that Moses ain't going, and now God is saying that the mantle is on you. Oh, glory to God. So what does he do? What does he do? Now he's being ushered in to his new day, into new things and new ways. So how does he do that? He's got to do it by faith. But not only by faith, this is what God speaks to him over in Joshua chapter 1. He says, and there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thy divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Thou shalt also prosper wherever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shall thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Be thou not dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. See, Joshua now, he needed further instructions and promises from God for the new. He's not been in this place now. He's taken the place, of Moses. So he needed to be able to enter into his new day, new things, and new ways. And the only way that he could do that is that he's got to have further instructions for God. So even for us, when we're entering into our winning time with God, and we're in our new day and our new time and our new ways, we have to do this by faith. By faith. There are so many principles that God is going to be speaking to us. I hope I get a chance to do it on the broadcast as well, because he's really dropping us down at Rehoboth in the different things that we have to grab hold to in our new day, in our new things, in our new ways. There are principles that we have to understand. It's almost like God has given us a, at first I said, is it a refresher course? He said, no. He said, what I'm doing is I'm assuring you up in some areas. There are certain principles that have to be in operation for you to actually win in your new day, in the new way, in the new things. And so even today, tonight rather, we're gonna look at another place that goes with winning. How do we win when it doesn't look like we're winning? Well, one of the things he says, that one of the main principles of Christianity is that we got to walk by faith. We got to walk by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 to 6. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then when you jump down, I believe the latter part of that, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When we're talking about winning in our new season, we have got to be able to walk by faith. And, you know, we hear people like, oh, yeah, we're talking about faith again. Yeah, we are, because a lot of times we're not really we talk the talk about faith, but are we really walking by faith when we can't see nothing? Oh, glory to God, because, see, faith paints a picture of what you can't see. Faith says that that I believe the God that I serve, I believe that he's more than able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think. Faith tells me that in my new day and in the new things and the new ways that I could pull on all the things that I've seen God do in my life. I could pull on all the promises that he's given me. I can pull on all the places that he's taken me. I can pull on all the times that he came to see about me, that we got to do this by faith. Because, see, some of these places that you are going to embark upon in your new day, in the new things, in the new ways, you've never been there before. This is a whole nother realm. This is just like in 2020, how in 2020 life just happened and changed abruptly. We were thrown into, it was like we were moving through January 2020. Remember, we were all like, yay, 2020, that's going to be my year, 2020. And then about mid-February, we started getting word about the virus had not only entered into other countries, but now it had entered into the United States. And then by mid-March, things just flipped. Everything started shutting down. Everything started shutting down, and life changed very abruptly. Yes, it did. Yes, it did. So we were thrown into some places that we've never been before. We had to do things that we've never done before, and not only for 2020. We're still in some of that stuff. The virus is still here, you know, and let me just, I'm going to veer off for just a second, that a lot of things are changing, you know, things are opening, but I want to caution you that still, it's not the time to throw caution to the wind, that you still got to be vigilant and wearing your mask and social distancing and washing your hands and not hanging out with a whole bunch of people, because the virus is still real upon the earth. But just like in 2020, we were thrown into some new things, some different things abruptly. Now, in your new day and your new things and your new ways, there are some things that you have never experienced before. So you got to get this thing by faith. You got to be able to hear God. You got to be able to pull on the places and things that God has given you in your life. But you got to be able to get it in the spirit. Because some things, you got to see it in the spirit. You're going to see it in the spirit before you see it in the natural. Because the spirit will paint a picture of what is forthcoming. And so before it comes, you'll already know about it. But it says also that without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's impossible to please God without faith. We got to believe what he says. We got to know that God is going to come and take care of us. We got to know that there is a new day. There are new things and there's new ways. And God is going to lead us and he is going to guide us. He said, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. We got to believe that what God says is true and that he is a rewarder of him, of them that diligently seek him. And now we're not seeking him to be rewarded. That's not our reason, because he has a more excellent way. But he says he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Oh, glory to God. I want to be in that winning circle with God. I want to be able to move when God says move. But some things, I got to do it by faith. I got to believe that he said what he said he's going to do, he's going to do. And, you know, think about it. A lot of us have history with God. God has not failed us. He might not have done exactly what we thought he was going to do, how he was going to do it, and when he was going to do it. But he never failed us. Some of the things that did not pan out the way we thought is because we put our spin on it. But God has a way of making all things work together for the good. Hallelujah. So we've got to walk by faith. We got to believe him. We got to know in whom we believe and whom we hope is able to do anything and everything but fail. Oh, hallelujah. Talking about faith, Luke chapter 17, it says, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, hear me now, you must say unto the sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thy planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. And a lot of times right here, they were saying, like, you know, we need some faith to do that, God. That's a hard thing. We got to keep forgiving these people. He said, but, you know, increase our faith. But he said, no. I don't need to increase your faith. You need to walk in the amount of faith that you already have. He said, you don't need a whole lot of faith. And sometimes we think, I just need more faith. But that's not what the word says. The word says, if we have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall speak unto the sycamore tree, be thy plucked up by the root, and be thy planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. Oh, hallelujah. So the amount of faith that we have, that we've got to be able to execute it and walk in it and see some things come to pass. Romans 12, verse 3 says, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith, God has given all of us the measure of faith. But what are we using our faith in? Sometimes our faith is attributed to people. Sometimes our faith is attached to our jobs. Our faith are attached to relationships and money. And we're always depending on something. But our faith has got to be in God Almighty. Where is your faith attached to? Ask yourself that even tonight. Am I trusting God? Is my hope in God? Am I believing him? Is what he say? Do I think it's going to come to pass? Am I going to have a new day? Am I going to have new thing in a new way? Is God going to show me how to be winning even when it looks like I'm not winning? But I got to walk this thing by faith. Psalm 39, excuse me, and 7 says, and now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee, in thee. What am I waiting for? See, sometimes when we're in situations, we're like, well, if I get another job and, you know, if I live in another neighborhood, if I get another car, you know, if I'm in a better relationship and, you know, we look at all these exterior things that our life will change and our life could be better. But the psalm writer says that, what am I waiting for? What am I waiting for except my hope is in thee? My hope is in you, God. And see, and that's where we have to find ourselves when we realize that nothing or anybody is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. When we remember that it was him and him alone from time and time again has provided for us, he rescued us, he healed us, he restored our joy, and the list goes on and on. That was only God. Come on now. So my faith can't be in all this other stuff. My faith can't be in other people. My faith can't be in money and things and places. But the songwriter said, "But what am I waiting for? My hope is in you." And that's where we have to be. Let's get our eyes on him and him alone. Psalm 27 says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. When I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done, my soul cries out, thank God. Oh, thank God for saving me, from delivering me, taking me out of the clutches of the enemy. Yes, he has, and yes, he will, and yes, he will continue to do so. James 2:26 says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Right here, talking about faith. Faith causes you to believe. Faith causes you to move in the direction in which God is calling you. Faith doesn't have us stagnated. Faith doesn't have us attached to our past except to learn the lessons that we need to learn from our past. But faith pushes us forward. Faith pushes us in the direction of God. Faith pushes us into the purpose of God, that when we believe God, when our faith is in him, we start to move and we start to do things that God is instructing us to do, even when we don't see it, even when we don't see it. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. A new day, a new thing, and new ways. You know, and think about this, y'all. It can't be new days, new things, and new ways and we're doing things the same way. It's no way. Somebody posted in Facebook the other day, I think this is how it went. It says, I need new keys because the old keys can't open new doors. And I'm paraphrasing it. It went something like that, but it was very profound that I need new keys because my old keys can't open the new doors. So I need God to show me some things that are different. We are not going to get a new day and new things, a new way, if we're not willing to change some things in our lives. I'm reading this book now. It's by Mark Batterson, and it's called Win the Day. It's called Win the Day. And something in his book that he talks about flipping the script. And what he talks about in flipping the script is that you got to do it differently, that you can't expect a new day, new things, and new ways if you're not willing to allow God to show you a more excellent way, to show you that there's another way of doing things. If not, you're going to get the same results. So I say to you, even tonight, are you willing to flip the script? Are you willing to turn the page on your life? Are you willing to do something different? Are you willing to allow God to show you something different so that you can have a new day, a new thing, and new ways? Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Hallelujah. We must allow God to lead us and instruct us so that he knows exactly everything that will happen in this new day, in the new thing, in the new ways. But we've got to constantly stay before him so that he can instruct us, that he can lead us, and he can guide us. 1 Corinthians 12:31, it says, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Oh, hallelujah. God knows better than we know. God knows more than what we know. Our story has already been written. If there's a new day, if there's new things and new ways, we've never been in this places before that God is about to move us into. So we need God to show us what to do and how to do it. And we've got to trust him that he will. We've got to be willing to flip the script. We got to be able to do something different, walk different, talk different, go different, be different. Some things you're not going to be able to do in this new day and this new things and the new ways. Some people you're not going to be able to hang out with anymore. Those people do not fit in the new script. Those people do not fit any longer for what God is taking you to. There's some changes you may have to make. There may be new jobs for you. There may be a new location where you may have to live. I mean, there's so many things and ways in which God has it. But when we trust him that he's going to show us a more excellent way and in our new day, in our new things, in our new way. Oh, hallelujah. So we've got to be able to allow him to flip the script on our lives and show us a more excellent way. Prime example, in the Bible, Queen Esther. Remember Queen Esther, and this is in Esther chapter 4. It says, then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther. And this is where, remember, there was a decree that went out that they were going to kill all the Jews. And Mordecai began to tell Esther, you know, that what's going on, that there's a decree that went out that they were going to kill all the Jews. So this is what he says. It says, then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thy shall escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thy altogether holdeth thy peace at this time, then shall there be enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thy and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? O glory. Then Esther bid him return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. Oh, glory to God. Because she was like, I can't go speak to the king, because you can't just walk up and say you want to talk to the king. You know, he's got to beckon you to come. You know, you can't just do that. He's got to hold out the scepter for you to have audience with him. But because now things were changing, she had to flip the script and she had to do something a little bit different in order to help her people. And so what did she tell Mordecai? She says, I'll go and I'll speak to the king. You guys go and fast and me and my maids will do so. She said, but I'm going to go see the king. And she says, then if I perish, I perish, because this is not according to the law. She had to do something different. See, sometimes in your new day, in your new things, in your new way, you got to be willing to do something different. You are not going to get different results if you're not willing to allow God to flip the script. He can flip the script and give you a whole nother existence. I think about all the time of how I'm no longer in Philadelphia, how I'm living in Maryland, first from Virginia to Maryland, and my life looks nothing like I thought it was going to look like. Everything that I knew, everything that I was attached to, every thought that I had, every possession that I had, God just flipped the script totally and gave me a whole nother life. He gave me a whole nother path. He gave me a whole nother process, because he knew that he had called me to be able to be a minister unto him. And he said, but I needed to be even in a different location in order to do that. Oh, come on now. Come on now. We're talking about a new day. We're talking about a new thing in a new way. But are you willing? Are you willing to flip the script? Are you willing to allow God to turn the pages? Are you willing for him to turn the chapter? Are you willing for him to even close the book and give you another book? Are you willing to be able to let him do what he knows is best for your life and that will give him glory? Oh, hallelujah. Living differently, doing something different. You also, Peter, remember Peter. In the Bible, it said that Peter denied the Christ not only one time, but he denied the Christ three times. But on the day of Pentecost, in the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, the same Peter that denied the Christ, he stood up and he gave a dissertation on who Jesus was and how they denied him. And when he was finished, there were 3,000 people that repented and believed and were baptized. Oh, hallelujah. New day, new thing, and new way. But the same Peter, now the script has been flipped. And now he is talking about the same Jesus that he denied three times, but now he's talking and he's standing up with authority. Oh, hallelujah, with authority and power that 3,000 people gave their lives to the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, you got to be willing to allow the script to be flipped to be able to do something different. Paul, we know Paul. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, it says, but what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but done that I may win Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says right here, he says that, whatever, everything that I've gained and I lost, he said, but it's okay. It's because if I could just be what God's called me to be, if I have a relationship with Christ, then so be it. And see, and that's where we've got to be willing to let those things go that does not glorify God. We've got to be willing to say, God, but you have a more excellent way, and whatever my days look like, hey, whatever my day's going to be like, oh, God, that I trust you, Lord God, to show me what I need to do, God, how I need to live differently, God, that I'm winning, and I'm winning because you say that this is where my life is supposed to be. And the thing that we have to remember is not to rush the process. This is what he said. He says, you gotta live this thing out daily. Live it out daily. In Matthew chapter 6, remember part of the prayer, it says that give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread. Give us our daily bread. We've got to allow the process to be on the the speed or the duration that God has selected, because he knows how long something takes. He knows where we're supposed to be. He knows how we're supposed to get there. He knows the process. I preached a message about a year ago. It says, let the process be the process, letting God do it the way he knows that it should be done. So don't rush the process. Don't be like, I just want this to be over. I just want to get out of this. I don't want to do this anymore. And we do go there. We do. We do go there some days. But we've got to get to a place where we settle ourselves down and we say, because you know when your flesh is just out of control. You know when your flesh or not out of control. You know when your flesh is in control of your where and you're not walking in the spirit. But when my flesh is in control, I know that because I start having these, I don't want to do it, and I don't want it, and. But when you get to that place, you can begin to just get quiet before God. You can get in your word, get in your prayer closet, get before God, turn your plate down, whatever it's going to take, so that you can get back to a place of hearing God, where you can get back to a place of living by faith and telling God, but I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in my life. And God, I believe your word, God. Your word says that, but all things work together for the good. And therefore, God, I'm going to believe you right now. God, I'm struggling. Right now, I don't feel like I can maybe go another day. I don't even want to do another day. But God, I'm going to sit here because I know that this is not the right attitude that I need to have, but I'm going to sit here, God, and I'm going to get before you, Lord God, and I'm going to ask you to help me crucify my flesh daily so that I can be able to hear you and I can be still and know that you're God and that I'll allow you to take me through the process that I can have a new day, I can have a new thing, and I can be able to get the new ways, God, that you have for me. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, God. And we bless you and we honor you. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21 to 25. It says, this I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Talking about his mercies and his compassions. They are new every morning. Every morning. Yesterday may have been a mess. Yesterday may have looked like I was never going to be okay. But when I wake up in the morning, hallelujah, that I can attach myself to the new mercies, I can attach myself to the compassions of God, because his mercies are new each and every day. He don't give us no old stuff. isn't that something, that even God don't give us no old mercies and old compassions, that they're new each and every morning, and God is faithful to us. Come on now, come on, every day. You might not have gotten it right yesterday, but we know how to repent and get before God and ask for forgiveness and get right back into the place that we need to be. And I say this before, you know, we trust our GPS, that when we get off track, we trust our GPS to get us on the road of our destination. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We trust it to get us back on the road to our destination, so that when we get before God, even when we fall and we mess up, when we get back and we get back before him and we repent and we ask for forgiveness, then he's able to get us back on the path that of destiny and purpose that he has for us. Don't allow the enemy, I'm saying this to somebody tonight, do not allow the enemy to make you think that God is not going to forgive you. Don't, the Bible says that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who love the Lord. Come on now. If you get before him and you ask for forgiveness, God will welcome you back and God will show you a more excellent way. So just square your shoulders back and say, God, but I'm sorry, God, and I repent and forgive me. Now, God, show me how to get back to the road that leads me to purpose and destiny, because his faithfulness is true, his mercies are true, and his compassions faileth not. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I speak to that person tonight that God says that he loves you, that he loves you, and that there's still purpose in your life. There's still destiny in your life. There's still a road for you to travel. And he says, come on, come on, come on, come on. I'm waiting for you. Come on, come on, come on. Let's get back on the road of purpose and destiny. I got things for you to do. I got things for you to do and places to go and people to see and people to touch. He says, come on, come on. Let the process be, and let the process be daily. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. Think about this, y'all. Yesterday is gone. Yesterday is gone. And the thing that we get from yesterday is that we need to learn from it, but we can't get stuck there. Yes, and yes, we should do planning, and planning is good. But remember, tomorrow is really is a mystery, but destiny is not. And this is what my author, my favorite author, said in that book I'm reading. He said, tomorrow is really a mystery, but destiny is not. Oh, hallelujah. So we can plan all we want, but it's got to be to the place that the path is to destiny, belongs to God, and can change and not be side railed by the change. But today is what we have, and if we are still here, let the process be in this day and see what it produces. Can we at least do it daily, one day at a time? Oh, hallelujah. He says that tomorrow is a mystery, but our destiny is not. It's not a mystery. We may not understand totally where we're going, but we know a God that knows everything, that he's already circled back, y'all. He's walking with us. So even when we plan, and we should plan, but we can't be so stuck in our plan that if it doesn't go that way, if it's side-railed, is the word he gave me, if it's side-railed, then we got to be able to say, but you know what, then that ain't God. That wasn't you, God, that was me, and it's okay. You'll show me a more excellent way. So we've got to allow God to show us on a daily basis. We can't get stuck in yesterday. We can't get stuck in yesterday, and we can't spend a whole lot of time in tomorrow, but we have today. What are we going to do in today? Come on, y'all. Let's let every day count. Let's do something constructive in our day. Let's listen before God in the morning. My prayer every morning is, God, I give you back my day, God. Show me, God, what my day should be. Show me how to walk in my day. Show me how to win in my day. Show me what I need to say, what I need to do, what I need to give, what I need to get, where I need to be, how I need to sit. God, what is it that you would have me to do, God? And if I follow your instructions, then I know that my day will be prosperous. I know that my day will produce what you say that it should produce. Okay, come on now. Come on now, because we're talking new day. We're talking new things and new ways. If we don't sit before God, we won't know what to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's just tell the Lord, awaken us, Father God, to the more of you, that we may embrace the new day, the new things, and the new way. Oh, hallelujah. 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 He's talking to us tonight, y'all. He's talking to us. He's telling us that winning, when it looks like you're not winning, it doesn't mean you're not winning. That situation is just positioning you and posturing you to be able to get to a place of where you will be winning. Every loss is not a loss. Some losses is just to propel you forward in a place of winning. And that we have to do this by faith. We have to do it by faith. Walk in faith. Believe God that whatever God said that he's going to do, that he is going to do it, and that it shall come to pass. And that we've got to be willing, y'all, willing to flip the script, allow God to turn the page, allow God to even shut that book and give us a whole nother book and begin to write it differently. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to get out of self and allow God to show us a more excellent way? Are we willing? Are we willing? And we have to remember that we're going to not rush the process. We're going to let the process be the process. We're going to do it on a daily basis. Can we just do it daily? You know, not 10 years down the road, but can we do it daily and not be bummed out when it doesn't go the way that we say that it should go? But we're going to trust God with our day, with our moments, with our lives, with every situation that we have. Oh, hallelujah. We thank you tonight, God. We thank you, Lord God, that you're going to awaken us, God, in the inside of us, God, to the more of you, God, that we can embrace the new day, the new things, and the new ways. Why? And we can say we win. Oh, hallelujah, we win. Oh, hallelujah, we win. Come on now, say it with me tonight. I can't hear you, but say it. Oh, the heavens can hear you tonight. Hey, we win. Oh, we win, we win, we win, we win, we win, we win. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Regardless of what it looks like, we win, y'all. We win, we win, we win. We win because of Jesus Christ. We win because of the God that has our lives in the hollow of his hand. We win. We win. We win. We win in the new day, in the new things, and the new way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Lord God. We thank you, God, and we bless you tonight. And we honor you and we adore you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen, and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We win, y'all, we win. Yes, we do, we win, we win, we win. And we bless you, God, for the win tonight. So I just pray tonight, if you're on the broadcast, hallelujah, hallelujah, you've never asked Christ to just come and just take your life over and show you what your day needs to look like in the new day, in the new things, in the new way. And you've never asked for forgiveness, and you've never asked him to just to show you how to do it. You don't know how, but he'll show you how. Yes, he will. Then I ask that you would just pray this with me tonight. And I pray this and believing God that you win. So say this with me tonight. I'm a sinner, but I ask for forgiveness tonight. And I ask that, God, that you would just take my life and that you would teach me how to make you my priority and that my life will look different and be different and I'll be able to walk in a new day and new things and new ways. And if you would teach me, if you would just teach me, then I know that everything will be okay. So I ask for forgiveness. I believe that Jesus died for me, and because of that, I can live and I can live a more excellent life. And so if you prayed this prayer with me tonight, then I ask that you would just send me an email. You can send me a text. You can send something to the church. You can hit me up on Facebook. Just let me know that it was you that prayed this prayer, and I'll be able to send you some information to help you on your journey, the journey in your new day, in your new way, and in your new things. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We win, y'all, we win. And we got a new day, and we got new things, and we have new ways that God is bringing to our lives. So God bless you tonight. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Don't forget, join us on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock via Facebook Live under the Church Rehoboth Family Life Center. Also, you can join us on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. You can go to our Facebook page and get the Zoom information to connect with us. Also, join me again on next first Monday of, wow, it'll be April, the first Monday in April. And don't forget, look for the new days, the new things, and the new ways. Not back, but forward. So don't forget, join me again next month. Invite some folks to join in too. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Have a great night. Love you guys. Love you guys. Now, if you don't mind, if you could just hold for the final words and continually be blessed. You win, you win, you win.
We thank you for joining us on the Lifeline broadcast and pray you've been blessed. Again, our church is Rehoboth Family Life Center, located at 17900 Queen Anne Road, Upper Marlboro, Maryland, 20774. Apostle Jones would love to hear from you. She can be reached via Apostle S. Jones at RehobothFLC.org or by dialing 1-877-354-6082. Until next month's broadcast, good evening and God bless.